So many stories seem to relate to something going on in New York, it seems. Carl, there's a sixth Cuomo accuser today.
Wow. You know, I actually know on a list the third
really?
Or fourth accuser from Rochester. Yeah. We were on a voluntary board together.
How hot is she?
She's cute, and she's a straight shooter. I don't. She's not making shit up. That's for sure.
Does she like older men?
No, she definitely does not like men who are 30 years older than her.
Oh, she's in her 30s?
She's much younger than Mr. Cuomo, yes.
They had pictures of the five women today on one of the shows. They're all beautiful, and they're all way too young for him.
He's got a good taste. He's got good taste in women.
However, the sixth one, they will not tell us who it is. And she didn't make the complaint. She was called to work at the executive mansion. And apparently the complaint was made by multiple other staffers who said, we witnessed Cuomo hitting on this woman. And I guess I don't know if she is okay with what he did or she just didn't want to complain. I suspect it's that she probably didn't want to complain. But what a loser he is. Does anyone ever say yes to Cuomo?
No.
That's what I was going to say. This must work sometimes, right? The people who aren't coming out.
I don't know. He's 0 for 6 so far.
Maybe he's 3 for 9. We don't know.
Well, that's true.
He's going to start bringing out all the women. This one said yes. This one said yes. And they're all way uglier.
I mean, how stupid would you feel if you were his age and all these women who are in their 20s and 30s are coming out going, oh, my God, this gross old man hit on me, too. I would feel like such a creep. Plus the fact that you hit on people that don't want to be with you. That's something, I mean, you should at least, shouldn't your batting average be at least 50-50?
I wish we were focused more on what a terrible governor he is than what a creep he is.
Yeah, but we don't care.
That's really my problem with him.
We don't live there.
It is interesting that this is what has brought so much attention to Andrew Cuomo. Isn't it? Kind of? Sort of?
We love sex.
Right after the the nursing homes? Mm-hmm. I would have thought that would have probably been bigger than this, but no.
They admitted that they covered up the numbers. That's what always gets you in trouble in politics is the cover-up, right?
Yep.
So how do they get away with that? Hopefully they're still under investigation and they don't, but it's
I don't
crazy.
Know. I feel like I said I felt like that story had really, I don't want to say downplayed, but I don't hear it all the time. I wasn't hearing it all the time. And somebody said, what news are you watching? It's all over the place. And I was like, I don't see it all over the place. I see this all over the place.
Yeah. This is a total distraction now.
And then somebody else is pissed because, why aren't you talking about Matthew Cawthorn, who's the Republican from South Carolina or North Carolina?
He's
26.
The young guy, yeah.
He's paralyzed from the waist down.
Madison Cawthorn?
Madison Cawthorn, and he lied about, he said the Naval Academy accepted him and they didn't. And
he's 25.
Said he was a Navy SEAL, yeah.
Oh, he said he was a Navy SEAL, I didn't know that one.
I thought that was one of the whoppers.
And then 150 people from his college signed something saying that it's not safe to be with him.
Yeah.
And if he ever asks you to go out in his white Dodge Challenger, that say no because he's pretty dangerous.
Cool. Sounds pretty cool. I'll go for a ride with him.
So here's the thing, though. I mean, when 150 people sign something from your class in college, I mean, that sounds like, oh, my God, what? You must be a madman. Well, he was only there one semester, and he's paralyzed from the waist down. Mm-hmm. What does this guy do? Not that somebody paralyzed couldn't do something bad, but, I mean, that's not a very long time.
Well, I don't know. What do you mean?
Is there one semester and 150 people sign something saying that he's unsafe? He must be hitting on people around the clock.
Yeah, he made his mark.
Mm-hmm. He's.
You know how much shit I did in a care.
Yeah, but chicks were dancing around Hawk.
Yeah.
I mean, Hawk had people gyrating all the time. He didn't have to make them gyrate.
That's Trust me, anything goes.
Anything goes. Is that what he said? Yeah.
Four women have come forward. I don't think it was all. The letters was all from his school, but I don't know if all the accusations were from the university.
Well, 150 people from his college signed this thing.
Oh, I know.
Patrick Henry College is not that big a school either, so he pretty much pissed everyone off.
Yeah.
Or everyone he pissed off told everyone else, and they all signed something.
So many people said that Cawthorn had harassed female classmates during college.
Well, the big thing seemed to be his trips out in the country and his...
Yeah, his fun drives?
His fun drives, that's the quote. Don't ever go on a fun drive with Matthew Cawthorn.
Once again, that's a U.S. House of Representative from New York, not the governor, or North Carolina, not the governor of the state of New York. It's a little different.
He didn't take a victory lap over his fabulous, Andrew Cuomo was the superstar of COVID.
Sure.
Right. Wrote a book, got a million-dollar advance. And
they
then
take,
turns
hey,
out,
Carl, did they take that Emmy Award away from him yet?
Not yet. I'm waiting.
Huh. Were you impressed with him as a COVID governor, Carl?
Wildly unimpressed, Drew. So they're finally going to reopen comedy clubs next month. We've had comedy clubs closed for, my friend owns the comedy club here in Rochester. They've been closed for almost a year now. There is no data to support this. You could put the tables 12 feet away from the stage. I don't know what's going to happen. Everyone's facing the same direction. What's the problem?
Let me ask you about New York City, too. Isn't New York City just bereft? I mean, just vacant, boarded up?
New York City's got serious problems because, of course, they rely on tourism, and nobody's visiting the place. So it's already a ghost town for that reason. But also, no one's commuting into the city to work their white-collar jobs. They're all doing it from home. So it's really just overrun with homeless people, or at least that's what I hear from my buddy Anthony Cumia.
New York City!
Anthony Cumia, is he leaving New York City? Is that true?
Yeah, he's selling his mansion on Long Island, moving down to South Carolina. He's had enough. He's had enough of New York.
Really?
He's going to keep his studios, though, because Compound Media, they do have a studio in Manhattan. He's going to keep that, and all the other shows will still broadcast from there, but he's going to broadcast from his home in South Carolina.
Well, somebody was driving through Times Square and all these really iconic places in New York City, and all you saw were boarded up businesses, nobody, just occasionally someone walking around, but it was just dead. This is a couple months ago, but I thought, this seems impossible. It can't be that bad. Is it that bad?
I mean, it has to be. What reason would you have for being in Manhattan? There's nothing to do.
I mean, I guess, you know, New York's a city where everybody can find a restaurant they love within a couple blocks. And I guess, were the restaurants shut down longer than most states?
Yes. In fact, New York City had different restrictions than the rest of New York State did. We've had restaurants open at 50% capacity for a couple of months now.
Is that de Blasio? Or is it that's like Cuomo?
Yeah.
Yeah. But still, nonetheless, I mean, New York City. And actually, I saw somebody similar video of Chicago, of the Miracle Mile. And I was like, oh my God, I can't imagine that. That just seems bizarre. But I haven't been there in a while, so I haven't seen it for myself. But I would think these cities would be dying to get up and running again. I mean, somebody's losing their ass, right?
Yeah. This whole thing with the landlords now, I mean, this is really going to, I don't know how this is going to be resolved, because people have not been paying their rent for almost a year.
Well, this is what I understand. Okay, when you say, okay, you don't have to pay rent. If you're fucked by COVID, you don't have to pay rent. So these landlords,
residential or business?
Well, both, but residential specifically.
Yeah, a lot of people who rent, who pay high rent in New York. So they go, I don't have to pay rent, but you can't kick me out. So how does the landlord continue making payments on the, I mean, is the bank not allowed to charge them?
Well, they still have to pay those rent payments back at some point. So it's just piling up. They just didn't have to pay on the due dates. So I don't know how they're going to solve this. I mean, a $1,400 check ain't going to do it.
Oh, so I guess small claims court are just going to be dragging all these people for the next 20 years. I mean, that's a lot of money.
Yes.
I mean,
yes.
Who's going to just come up with up? I mean, rents in New York, you're talking $3,000, $4,000, $5,000 a month, mm-hmm, over 12 months. And how many people is it a lot of people aren't paying or just some people?
I don't know. I haven't, from what I've read, it's a lot of people. I don't know what the percentage is.
Yeah. No, it sounded crazy.
The interesting
honestly
thing with businesses, if you kick them out, are you going to have someone who's going to replace them? You know, or do you make a deal for half the cost? I mean, it's very tricky.
Personally, I don't want anybody in my property that is not going to pay the rent until something is over, and I have no idea when it's going to be over. That doesn't help me much. I'd rather they went somewhere else and didn't pay somebody else rent.
Correct.
But I mean, there's nothing.
Damn high.
No. There's nothing you can do.
Well, yeah,
you can't kick people out.
If your choice is zero or zero, yeah, I mean, what does it matter? But if your choice is 50% or zero.
But I just wonder how solid is it that they have to pay you back? I mean, how many people are really going to get paid back?
At least for businesses and rent abatement, the feds have backed up the banks to say, let them not pay for a while, because they didn't want to keep charging the small businesses that are renting from. I don't know how long
it just seems
goes
like
on.
The Fed should pay the landlords, and then the Fed should collect the money
from
these people.
The bank. I mean, the bank owns the note.
Or the bank should Yeah, the bank should collect it from the renters. Do the banks really want to do that? I don't think so.
No, but they provide abatement because the feds are back. The federal bank is backing them.
Well,
I know it's tricky. It's at some point, it does have to be paid, though.
Do you have to prove that you're not working, or can you just say, I don't have to pay it, so I'm not paying it?
Well, if you're talking residential, it's different. I'm talking about the businesses that are shut down by
law. Well, I was talking about residential. Were you talking about businesses, Carl, or residential?
Both.
Mostly residential, but you're right. I mean, all the restaurants, all the bars, the barber shops, these places are not making any money for months, and they have commercial real estate, which is obviously very expensive.
Yeah. Well, I don't know what the answer is, but anyway, so Carl.
Listen to podcasts?
Yes. Escape into podcasts. That's what I say.
There's lots of time for podcasts. I sent Carl a podcast I knew he would want to listen to the other day, but you had a couple that you said Paris Hilton was kind of on your radar.
Yeah. Paris Hilton. This is Paris. That's her new show. And of course, that's making a lot of news with Sarah Silverman apologizing to her.
Oh, Lord. Pathetic.
For a great joke. Very, very funny joke.
Well, all right. So if you want to play this clip, Paris put out a 10-minute long podcast after Sarah put out her podcast apologizing to Paris, with Paris accepting the apology and being all excited about it.
Oh,
and track 13 is her reading the article that someone texted her talking about how Sarah apologized.
During the show, which was filmed the night Hilton turned herself into jail to serve time for probation violation, Silverman cracked the joke. I don't even want to repeat it. Both Paris and her sister Nikki said the joke like that wouldn't fly now. And Silverman on her own podcast today agreed wholeheartedly.
Oh yeah, sure.
So my question is, because you guys played the joke. Yeah. It was they painted the bars to look like dicks. And then
she her teeth.
A good joke. Why would that not fly now? Paris Hilton's a public figure. You can't make fun of a public figure.
I don't know. It's so weird right now. I can't believe Sarah Silverman apologized, really.
She's been on an apology tour of some sort.
How is she going to make jokes in the future? Seriously.
She'll make jokes about her own vagina then.
Okay. Well,
let me ask you this, Drew. You might have an opinion on this. Sarah Silverman is very anti-Trump, very anti-right. Would she ever apologize for goofing on Donald Trump or Ted Cruz? Or can she still go off on them?
Well, they're both white men.
No. She would have no problem doing that.
Right.
And I don't think anybody will be able to do anything about that either. I mean, if Trump complains, people are going to go,
It doesn't make any sense at all.
This is what blows my mind, is all the people go, oh, my God, look what they did to Paris. Look what they did to Britney. And they really think these people should apologize for something 10 years
That's
ago?
Right.
This Opie and Anthony interview with Paris Hilton was nothing. I listened to it. She should apologize for being a shit guest, if you ask me.
They were trying so hard with her, too. Jim Norton was really trying to, even saying to her, like, hey, we're not attacking you. You seem like you're defensive. We just want to talk to you about your life. And she was not having any of it. She was terrible.
I honestly have no idea how she can complain about that and expect anyone to agree with her. But all these people are, oh, Zoe Deschanel, oh, my God, this is terrible. What people do to women, the misogyny. That was the most tepid Opie and Anthony interview I think I've ever heard.
Yes. Yeah, because they had this thing where, with their booking agent, when they would piss off a celebrity, then all the people that the handler had as other celebrities, they wouldn't be able to get. So they were trying to be really careful so they wouldn't lose all these other celebrities that would come on the show. They were trying to be really nice to Paris Hilton. And 10 years later, they're acting like it was some kind of ambush that they had.
What was she in jail for when she went to jail?
Violating probation for her DUI.
Oh, well, she could have avoided that joke by, you know.
Well, yeah, I would
not going to prison.
I would agree.
Real quick, play my track 14. This is hilarious to me.
Yeah, I was very shocked when I got it, and I really just appreciate it so much. And I'm glad that her comedy has grown, and she realizes that it's not nice to make fun of people.
It's comedy.
I think everyone learns that in life.
Nope.
I certainly have not learned that in life.
Wait, what about the simple life where she made fun of these Southern locals. Hicks, you know, who were farmers or whatever, and basically middle class people that these heiresses went down and made fun of them?
She's a public figure.
No,
how
I know, but
you can't make fun of her.
Her whole show is based on making fun of people that were far lesser than she was.
Right.
Not to mention, you know, in that opening Anthony interview, one of the things he said that I thought, oh, did she remember that she said this? She said, I've earned everything I've got. I've earned everything I've achieved. Really?
I've been working since I was 15. I own 17 product lines.
It's concerning to me. I mean, this sort of movement and all the support for it is very disconcerting. I feel like the world is upside down and I just don't know where I am anymore.
Well, Drew, wait until you hear the latest episode Paris put out is with her and Amy Schumer. And this is an hour-long episode. We'll be reviewing it on this weekend's Who Are These Podcasts. Wait until you hear this doozy.
Okay. Do we have any more Paris cuts?
No, that's all I have from Paris. I just wanted to tease it because we're doing it this weekend.
Okay. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, that'll be fun. No, the other show that you sent to me and you guys were talking about a little bit is this OMG High, the new George Lopez podcast.
Oh, yeah.
So, George Lopez, does anyone think this guy is funny?
No.
Has he ever said anything funny?
I have to say, Sandra Bullock, because I think she's made his career, right? Wasn't that Sandra Bullock that decided he was really funny and has backed everything he's ever done?
I never thought he was funny. I just sort of thought I should think he's funny, but I didn't myself. I mean, it was like I quietly didn't think he was funny, but I felt that I should.
Well, you know, the proof...
Everyone else acted like he was funny. It was sort of like Hamilton.
Hamilton is good. It's not funny. It's just good.
Stop okay. it.
Jerks.
Okay.
Expand
it's kind of like the Latino
horizons.
Steve Harvey. He's got a million jobs. You see him everywhere, and you can't figure out why.
No, that's a great analogy because, you know, they jump up on, you know, game shows from time to time. They'll do the talk shows here and there. They've both done radio. They, you know, have done the comedy
circuit. I think Steve
circuit.
Harvey's funnier,
I love
honestly.
Steve. I love Steve.
Steve Harvey does make me laugh.
I can laugh with Steve Harvey.
I don't think George Lopez has ever made me laugh.
He sounds like a nightmare to work with, but every time I see Steve Harvey and he smiles, I smile. I don't know if it's that damn mustache. What it is, but... 100%. God, I can watch him all day.
Well, I'm hoping Carl's going to change our mind that George's podcast is really fun.
All right, let's find out. So it's a brand new show. And of course, what all the celebrities do now is they put out a minute long teaser to introduce what their show is and what it's going to be.
Oh, I can't wait.
Yeah. So the co-host of the show is this guy named Brian Callen. Not to be confused with Brian Callen.
Yeah.
And Callen is George's opener on the road. So he's a very unknown stand-up who is making his living from George Lopez.
And he's cheap.
He's always his opener?
It seems like they have been for a few years.
Isn't that weird? I think that's weird when someone always opens for the same person. I feel like, what, they can't get any other jobs?
Because that's what best friends do.
I think they're just buddies. I think they like hanging out, so it makes sense.
Well, that makes sense.
What's wrong? Is you gay or something?
Well, it's okay.
So this is the teaser, track one.
Okay, everybody, listen, it's George Lopez, and I have some exciting news. I need a kidney. No, listen, March 1st is the premiere of my new podcast, and it's called Am I God High? And with my man, Brian.
Hi, everybody.
How would you describe Oh My God High?
Bad edit.
I would describe it as a world through George Lopez's non-filtered life.
Who gives a shit? Who gives a fuck?
George Lopez's unfiltered life.
That was a terrible edit.
How come these massive celebrities are not hiring me to edit their goddamn shows?
That's the 1 minute teaser. So they had to put about, 50 seconds into reading it. And then someone had to make two edits. So that was about 5 minutes of work. And they couldn't do it. They couldn't do a thorough job on it.
Especially because George said, you got to keep my kidney joke in there.
Yeah, by the way, you said something funny in the teaser. You had all this time to figure it out.
The kidney, that's he got a kidney from someone and then he dumped her.
Yeah.
That's really not very funny, is it?
Well, I mean, to him.
A local man is in dire need of a kidney tonight, and he's not telling anyone why.
I'm not sure that would be seen as funny, but I guess he can say it, so that's okay. And for somebody else, maybe a bigger deal.
OMG High? Is that
Why
something
is it called that?
Yeah, is that his catchphrase?
I could not figure it out. Every time he says it too, he's like, oh my God, hi, or some weird affect that he puts on his voice. I couldn't figure out what this is from or why it's funny.
Cultural appropriation.
Hey, he's got a 4.9 right now on 50 ratings.
Oh, he's got 50 reviews already?
All true. Of them from Sandra Bullock.
Son of a gun.
Three episodes, and I think one of them is just that coming soon.
I think Mexicans have big families. I think that's why you're seeing that.
Usually, I'm serious right now. Usually when there's a new podcast by a big name like George Lopez, there'll be a couple thousand reviews after the first couple episodes. Mm-hmm. 50 reviews? What the? It should be WTF.
Remember when he had the that TBS talk show? I think it was just called Lopez
at Night.
Did it?
And it did. They acted like it did really, really well. And then Conan got dragged away. And Lopez goes, "You know what? You can have my 11 o'clock spot. You're just way funnier than mine." Which made me feel like he must not have had any viewers then for him just to give up that slot.
He only did 2 years with that show. It could not have been well.
Could not have been that good. Yeah, it must not have been making any money.
Well, carry on, Carl.
So let me explain the format of this show. Now, this is a brand new show. It's been 2 episodes. I listened to episode number 2. It starts off, segment 1 is like a weird news segment. Hmm. And the purpose of this is Brian reads some kind of off-the-wall news story, and then we're going to get George's take on it. In fact, it even says in the description of the show, his hot take.
That's so powerful.
I want to give you an example of one of George's hot takes. Yeah, this is the setup. This is the story, track 2. Yeah,
this one's from the Huffington Post, actually. I think you'll like this one. A Florida man proposes.
That's the thing that everybody says, a Florida man.
A Florida man. And this guy, I don't know what he was, but they call him a Florida man, and he proposes using a ring stolen from another lover. So he basically... He's basically a man. Well, yeah. A Florida man stole an engagement ring and wedding bands from a girlfriend and used them to propose to another girlfriend.
Oh, okay. Wacky.
All right. So now George is just going to riff on this one.
I can't wait.
Yeah, he's just going to figure out, like, well, I'm a comedian. What can I riff on? This is a long clip, but trust me.
I'm on the edge of my seat. Let's go.
Okay, listen. All right.
Here we go.
Let's say you go to the car dealership. And you enter in a contract with the dealership, and you say, I'd like to get into a contract with you. I promise you that I'm going to take a car from you, and as long as you and I maintain this relationship, I keep the car. But if I don't pay for the car, you're going to come in the middle of the night, and tomorrow when I'm taking the kids to fucking Legoland, the car is going to be gone in the morning, and you know there's going to be a dew spot where it's dry where the car was and around the car, and you're going to be like, fuck, man, they can't repossess my car. How come? Because I wasn't paying, and then they were calling me, and I didn't call them back, much like a relationship. So you ladies, you break up with a guy, get this fucking big-ass ring, you tell all your friends, I'm engaged, look, I got the ring. And you enter into a contract, and if something happens where the contract is not fulfilled to the next level, which is marriage, you keep the ring. It doesn't work like that.
Well, first of all, I want to say this. I think he's legally wrong. I don't know why that was his take. That was the worst take I've ever heard. But
damn,
I do
son,
believe,
that is one compelling argument.
I believe an engagement ring is a gift in the eye of the law.
Just say if somebody gifted you a car, if the dealership said, here's a car to have.
Well, no, but I mean, what he said about the ring is that if you break up, she has to give you the ring back. I think there have been many court cases where that's not even true. Not that that's the point of the take. Was supposed to be wacky funny, right?
Compelling argument.
Took him a long time to get there, whatever his point was.
Terrible analogy.
It was horrible.
Legoland joke. But he didn't understand the story, because the story is the guy's dating two girls. He steals the ring from his one girlfriend from a past marriage and then gives it to his other girlfriend to propose to her. So it has nothing to do with like signing a contract with a car dealership and owning a car and making payments. It couldn't be a worse analogy from George.
But I think he got the legal part wrong anyway. First of all, he had the wrong analogy. And second of all, I think he was wrong. They should have deleted that from the show.
When you have a hot take, what are you going to do? He was just riffing.
I don't think they added anything out of these shows, Drew.
I don't think the bit quite panned out. And
boom!
Hot
take!
I don't think the guy put enough time into picking the story either.
No. Right. God, no.
He just went through the Huffington Post and just picked the first story.
The next weird news story is they're talking about Taliban militants in Afghanistan who blew themselves up in a bomb-making class.
Hilarious.
And what they're building are improvised explosive devices, IEDs. So in George's comedic mind, he connects that to another abbreviation. It comes up with this gem.
Oh, no. No, not IEDs.
I can already see
not
that.
IEDs.
Okay, I got a great, you know how they, you know, Reese's Pieces is like chocolate and peanut butter?
Yeah.
Okay, that was so let's say you got an IUD, like a birth control device.
Yeah, okay.
And you put a little bit of C4 in it, not a lot, and you put a little bit of C4, and then the ladies have it, and they put it inside them, and they tell the dude, if you ejaculate in me, it's going to activate the C4, and we're both dead. So if you say you're going to pull out because...
If not, you're a suicide bomber.
We're powder.
What about pre-cum?
Oh,
George,
oh.
Right?
Boy, this is fucking ponderous, man. Ponderous, fucking ponderous.
I'm not real impressed with this segment, Carl.
What the fuck is George Lopez talking about? He's never heard a podcast before.
This is ridiculous. I'm going to declare this. I feel that this segment is phoned in. I'm hoping he makes up for it in the rest, Carl. I hope you've got some other cuts where he turns it around.
Segment two is the voicemail segment.
Oh, excellent.
From the very beginning, they've been having voicemails come in. Now, Brandon, you know about this. You curate the voicemails. You go through. You pick the ones that you want to play for certain reasons.
It takes a lot of work. It really does. Thank you for acknowledging that. I appreciate it.
It is a lot of work. And you want to find the ones.
209-66 boner.
A nice jumping off point so you can have a conversation.
Yeah, you can riff off. So I'm sure this is going to be a lot better because he's got many choices instead of the one that this other guy picks.
Better not have a better boner line than I do.
That's right. This is track five, Tony the voicemailer.
Hey, George. My name is Tony.
Nice sound quality.
I saw a show that you were hosting back in 1992 at the Laugh Factory. There's a huge line. You were like the MC or something like that, introducing the comics. Ever since then, I always thought you were a stand-up guy, man. My late wife at that time was she was disabled. She had a muscular hereditary disease, so she couldn't stand in the line.
It's really uplifting.
We asked if she could sit in the little cubby area right there before you get into the Laugh Factory. You brought her a chair out for her to sit down, and you brought her a drink. You made it good and comfortable for her.
What a bummer!
I can't wait to hear the next episode. This is awesome.
So, of course, he plays the voicemailer that says, "You're an amazing person."
Yeah, you're a hero.
And George responds to that by totally agreeing in every single way. Track six.
Yeah, you know what? That's a really good question. I mean, you know, you and I, we worked together at the Punchline in Sacramento, mm-hmm. and you know that I would tell somebody, hey, go get the last four people at the end of the line and bring them in, like people that were clearly not going to get in.
Yeah, all
that's
the time.
Fair, so, number five.
You know, I've done that before. And I've paid people's bills and... Mm-hmm. Done whatever. Wow.
Bought them drinks, did the people. Whole nine, yeah. Well, I've only been around for those days, but I've seen you do amazing stuff for people that just didn't ask for anything.
What an asshole.
Oh my God, that's pathetic.
Great guy.
Mark, I like that you picked up on the same thing that I did. If you grabbed the last four people, there's people who showed up earlier who would have got into the show and didn't get into the show.
What about them?
Or there was room for them all along.
Yeah. What a liar. What?
It's one or the other.
I want to go to a show just and then say, I can't pay the bill. I don't have any money. And see if George pays it.
It's like that meme of, I always see it about Billy Joel where every single, in his residency at Madison Square Garden, he always selects people from the nosebleeds and brings them up right to the front, first row, because those are the true fans.
At least they're there. I mean, somebody got fucked by him bringing those other four people in.
But would you make the point after you hear that voicemail? Would you make the point that, I've also picked up tabs for people?
No,
I wouldn't play the voicemail.
I would delete the voicemail when it was halfway through.
Yeah.
That's what I would have done.
Yeah.
I said, this is of no use to the show.
But apparently George does those things so people will call his future podcast and blow him.
I can't wait to hear the redemption. There's got to be some great stuff coming because so far the show's not doing very well.
I paid strippers real well and nobody ever gave me credit for it.
I'm sorry, Hawk.
So segment three is some random anecdote that I got to tell you, I Dreamweaver during. I have no idea what he was talking about. It wasn't interesting or compelling. It was stupid. Segment four, what they call featuring surprise celebrity guests, ooh, according to the description of the show, they bring on a guest.
Oh, cool.
And I don't know who George thinks his audience is for this, but he brings on a defense attorney for some reason. Uh-huh. And the defense attorney is not someone you've heard of. I looked him up. Is that like a celebrity defense attorney?
Is he funny?
Is he an advertiser on George's podcast?
There are no advertisers yet, surprisingly. So he brings on this guy.
This isn't F. Lee Bailey or Mark Garagos or anything.
Right. No. This
Tom Mesereau.
No. This is really? This is just a guy. And you got to, well, of course, he's a Latino defense attorney, but
you've got
to listen to this question that he asked him, because it really tells you a lot about the audience that's listening to his show, Track 7.
So what mistakes do people make when they need a defense attorney and they make mistakes finding one?
Well, the first mistake most people charged with a crime make is they talk to the police. Oh. That's the biggest mistake that anybody can ever make.
Great lawyer.
Because those Miranda rights are there for a reason.
Who cares?
This goes on for 25 minutes where the guy's explaining, when you commit a crime, here's what you need to do. Here's how you find a defense attorney. It's like, I've never heard a podcast where they explain to you what to do after you committed a crime before.
Stop breaking the law, asshole!
Does George owe this guy money from, I don't know, the time he passed out? Was it the Windsor? Was that him that passed out of the Windsor Casino?
Yeah, that was right across.
Yeah, that's right.
Right across the river there. He crashed right in the lobby floor and someone took a picture of him.
Maybe he's bartering. This guy's on this show to pay his bills.
I just looked, Carl, by the way, his podcast, it did actually... When he started his first episode, it looks like it's about number 80. It's now about number 215. So it doesn't seem that these segments are working too well so far, because I can't believe this is going to stay even in the top 250.
Just saying. I don't know if that's true, because these two hosts love working together. Track 8.
I love you, man.
I love you too.
Doing this with me.
Thanks for
this is fun.
Me. This is a blast. I love you. I can listen to you talk all day long.
I wish you weren't a liar.
What does all this gay stuff have to do with us?
I love that Brian. Now remember, this is Brian's meal ticket. He goes, I can listen to you talk all day long.
Does.
I love you.
It's funny how sometimes I swear I think this is true, that if you tell people enough how great you are, that there are some people that will agree that you're great. I don't know why.
Well, you say it enough, it becomes true, right? Isn't that the Mike Clark rule?
Yeah, it has limited use, but it does occasionally work. So maybe that's what they're going for. I don't know. Carl, is this show going to redeem itself? I'm waiting for that. I'm convinced this is going to be good.
That's all I got for this show. Okay. I will not be revisiting this one.
Sorry,
I don't blame you.
All right. Well, did you have cuts for another show?
Remember you guys were talking about Victory, the podcast?
Oh, yes.
Yes, with tiny Kevin Conley.
Yes, this is Doug Ellen, who's the show creator from Entourage, along with Kevin Dillon, and sometimes Kevin Conley. The one I listened to did have Kevin Conley.
Okay.
By the way, real quick, Kevin Conley, red hair or no red hair? What do you think, Carl?
Oh, man.
He's not a ginger, is he?
He's Irish.
Your Twitter poll said he was.
The Twitter poll confirmed that he is a ginger, so we have to go with that, but I still want to push back.
Yeah, it's a tough one. I don't know.
Well, all I know is that he is very angry about his car being towed outside the podcast production site, where he used to park in front of the flower shop, because I guess he can't afford the public parking. And they towed his what was it, a Tesla?
The Tesla.
Yeah, and he
oversized
threw
Tesla.
He threw a shit fit. You can't hear him because there's no audio, but you can see him getting all bent out of shape at this flower shop, and then he leaves and he kicks the...
Baby kicks the planner.
Yeah. So... We should call the flower shop. We did try on Sunday, but let's try again today. I want to tell them there's a little redheaded boy that's upset.
Well, you know, him and his girlfriend are pregnant right now, so maybe he's hormonal over that.
Well, how was the podcast?
So they start off, it's just a hang show. They're just shooting the shit. They're talking about how they went golfing.
Oh, all right.
Nonsense.
They can make anything work.
Then they think they're all so funny and witty. Then they finally get to fan questions. Now, I'm going to read you the description of this show before we play this clip. The description says, join Emmy-winning Entourage creator Doug Ellen and Emmy-nominated star Kevin Dillon for a weekly comedy podcast where they relive the hit HBO show one episode at a time.
Oh, no.
Each week, they will deep dive discuss an episode of Entourage. That's word for word. Now, play my track 11.
So some people are asking when we're doing the next episode, which this podcast is not a recap of episodes.
They're just shooting the breeze. They're just talking about random nonsense. Someone's like, are you guys going to like review one of these episodes that you've done?
Like your website says?
Yeah. It sounds like he's pissed at the guy.
Oh, wow. That's really funny.
It's unfortunate.
Any other highlights from that?
Yeah, you guys always enjoy some of the production values that go into the podcast.
Mm-hmm. Love it.
And this one is really odd. My track 10, they go into a commercial. Now, they're just having a random conversation. There's a weird fade on a laugh, and then it cuts into like something that just got punched in post. And then there's a weird clip on that that goes into the ad read.
Okay.
We'll wrap that like cord around your neck and drag you
I
out
like
here.
Everything Sarah does. I don't hesitate. How about a word from our sponsor?
Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do.
Oh, boy.
These are people who worked in Hollywood for decades. How do they not know how to do this?
They don't need that. And now a word from our sponsor. It's totally pointless. You don't need it. Just go into the ad.
Did you hear that ad copy, too? Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do.
Yeah. How else do you have it?
The faded out laugh was a little ridiculous, too.
I don't hesitate.
I guess these guys can't be asked to go to commercial break in the actual show. No. No one can dare to ask them that, so they just have this awkward edit.
I love a fade on a laugh.
I've never heard that before. It was so awkward. It was so jarring.
How about a word from our sponsor?
So bad. Oh, man.
So I'll just give you a quick glimpse into what this show is before they finally start talking about Entourage, which is 20 minutes in. But these are just three buds just shooting the shit. Track nine.
Honestly, bro. Simon, are you listening to me? Stop sending the fucking sauce to the office. Thank you.
What is it? I don't know anything about Simon.
Oh, God. It's a friend of Doug's. One of Doug's boys.
It's not a friend of mine. Spicy sauce? I've been doing some cooking. By the way,
you can leave with the box, the final box of secret sauce. Because I don't want to fucking deal with it.
Connolly is not understanding what's happening here. The podcast is growing, and people are sending
sending steaks to the office.
You think I asked somebody to send steaks?
Keep them coming. I'm ready. Do you think I said to somebody,
send me steaks at the office that are going to go bad?
There's a bunch of bad steaks laying on the
table. Are they bad or...
Shut up!
What the hell were they talking about?
Oh, boy.
I don't even know what they were talking about.
Did you say steak?
They're all Hollywood guys. So they're throwing out people's names all by first name basis. And they're rattling through. Yeah, and then we saw this guy, and then we did this thing. I'm lost.
So it's Entourage the podcast is basically what it is. It's just a mess. It's just a mess about how great they are.
If Entourage weren't well written, yes.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Is he calling again?
No, I just wanted to confirm with you.
Roger Clinton called.
It's Roger Clinton time. It is Roger Clinton.
Did you know
time.
He called back? That's when I left to take that call.
No.
Yeah, half hour.
He wants to make sure. He goes, I do have some things going on if you don't mind plugging them. No, not one bit, Roger. That's how this game works.
Hey, Carl, do you have a final cut you want to play?
No, let me get out of your way for Roger Clinton.
Don't say it like that.
Is there another cut to play?
There's one more.
It's five seconds long. Let's hear the last cut.
How would you have liked the other characters' storylines to play out aside from your own?
All right, now reset it up.
So this is the part of the show where they're playing questions from the fans. And I don't listen to Office Ladies or Fake Doctors, Real Friends or any of these shows that are just paying homage to another show that was on TV.
Yeah.
Is this what they're doing? What a waste of fucking time this is. Hey, actors in the show, how would you like this to be written if it were different? Who cares? We give a fuck about
the show's
that.
Over for 10 years.
Right.
You know what's funny about that? There's some, and it tends to happen more dramas where they have like behind the podcast or more on that episode. And I'm sitting there going, but I just watched it. If it's that good, why don't you put it in the show I just watched? Why do I have to go get a supplemental podcast or something? If you have to explain the show and what I just watched, then I don't want to watch your show.
But it's just like they're filling time. Like, wouldn't the writers have come up with better storylines?
Yeah, that's why they're
the
writers.
Actors who are playing the characters?
Without a doubt.
They are. Carl, there are advertisers on this show?
No.
Yes.
Oh, there are. For that one?
Yeah. This one had Geico and a couple other...
Big.
Oh, Lexus was the other one. Yeah.
Yeah, they probably can say, these were the Entourage people. And, well, that sounds like a big deal. I'm sure it's really big. How does it do? Do you know?
It seems to be doing very well.
And of course.
It's growing from what I listened to. They were very excited about the response they were getting.
How many episodes deep are they?
A couple dozen, I think.
Oh, are they? Okay. They're still doing well. Okay. People did like the show. And then Sunday, Carl, you've got the Paris Hilton podcast to get into.
Yeah, on a deeper level. Chrissy Mears coming on, and we're going to be reviewing This Is Paris.
With Amy Schumer.
Should be a lot of fun.
I'm looking forward to that.
Wait, what do you mean with Amy Schumer? She's on the guest.
She's a guest, isn't she?
Yeah, Amy Schumer is the guest.
Are they going to go through all the jokes she needs to apologize for?
She has a shield. She's a female comic, so she has a shield. Although Sarah Silverman didn't have one.
I bet you she was on roast. I'm sure she made jokes about people that she should apologize for. And
maybe that's what they're doing.
Stealing jokes.
Amy Schumer's a joke stealer?
Yes. Well documented.
Oh, yeah, a lot.
That's funny. From whom?
Oh, there's YouTube videos that
really
that will, you know,
Show the original joke and then hurt. Yeah.
Oh, I know what I'm doing after the show. Yeah,
for 40 minutes, you'll see nothing but, you know, another comedian throwing out a joke, and then it's slightly altered a couple of years later by Amy Schumer.
Better apologize.
That's right.
All right, Carl, we'll be listening Sunday.
Well, also, guys, real quick, if you don't mind, I do want to plug. A couple of weeks ago, we had Shuli.
Get him out of here. Yeah, Shuli. Two shows ago.
Two shows ago, we had Shuli on, and we reviewed the High Pitch Eric show. Of course, Shuli's from the Howard Stern show. So that was a blast. He was great.
Yeah, it was funny.
It was really good.
I don't know.
We don't say the website enough. What's the website with all the information for Who Are These Podcasts?
WhoAreThese.com to get all the information, all the links to everything.
Beautiful.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, I've been some great shows recently. Oh, yeah. I really. Anything with lots of vocal fry. It seems that you have an affinity for those shows, Carl.
Oh, those are great. I also love any show where the people have ridiculous hobbies or they believe in ridiculous things. I'm doing a bonus show tomorrow night about flat earthers.
Oh, awesome.
That's always fun.
Good.
All right, Carl. I'll be listening Sunday.
Get him out of here.
All right.
We'll see you, buddy.
So good to see you back in the studio, buddy.
Hey, thank you. I appreciate that.
See you, Carl.
Who are these podcasts? WATP.